You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kim. I invite you to journey with me to a new day. I believe God has led you to this moment and this place because He is about to bring purpose and potential to your story. So join thousands of women and men from around the globe who have discovered how powerful their stories become once Christ touches them with His purpose. Don't you long to make this same discovery? Then grab your coffee, scoot in, and join me as we let God's Word reveal how every part of your past has been preparing you for this very moment.
You know, many times we're expecting one thing and we get another. I'm many times reminded of in the book of Daniel. Do you remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you remember when they really knew that God could do something, but they said to the king, even if he doesn't, we will still serve him? Well, today we have a story that's somewhat like that. That's going to bring you so much hope, and I can't wait to share it with you. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Coffee. You know what Coffee stands for: Conversations of Friends of Faith to Encourage and Equip. I'm Kim Crable, always delighted to be invited into your home, into your car, wherever you are, to share stories of people that I meet along the way. The most incredible stories of hope and inspiration, all to help each and every one of us be encouraged in whatever we're facing in our lives and to be able to show the one to whom gets us through it all. Today, I have a special guest. She has a new book. It's called What I Got Instead, The Story of Pain, Doubt, and Faith. It is going to inspire you. And I bet if you're one who's like me, who suffers with migraines, it's going to give you a lot of hope. So it is a delight to introduce to you my new friend, Eileen Somi. Eileen, hello, friend.
Well, hello there. It's so good to see you and be with you here.
I know. I guess we should give them a little backstory about where we were last time that we were together, where we actually met.
Amazing. Amazing what God does. So,
yeah. So my son was marrying your niece.
That's right. Corinne Somi.
That's right. And so we were on the beaches at their wedding and had time to just really connect on our, because of family, but our faith really sealed the deal, didn't it?
Amen. It sure did. It was such a pleasure. We had so much fun, but that was icing on the cake for that weekend for me, just to meet you.
Absolutely. Awesome. And same with you. But you know, at that time, I didn't know all the things that I would come to know about you and in the book. And so that's what makes this, I think, so special. I think that as believers, there's so many levels, and it's amazing how quickly we can get to the deeper level as believers, don't you? It's like we don't stop at the status quo at the shallow. We have to keep going deeper.
No, because we're family right out of the gates, right? So yeah, we have a common denominator, and it makes a huge difference. And we can just get past the surface stuff quick, right?
and it's so important too. And that's where we really know how to, you know, the Bible says to encourage one another daily. And if we don't know one another, how can we truly encourage one another? So I think that's why we just, our friendship was so solidified in just so much talk and fun and laughing and dancing at the wedding. So having you again. So thank you for taking the time to join me and all of my wonderful friends who join us right here on Coffee.
Oh, thank you for having me. This is tremendous.
Absolutely. So Eileen, give us a little bit of background about you. Where are you living? Tell us about Eileen.
Well, I am originally from New York. So 16 years ago, my husband and our four kids moved from Long Island, New York, down to Tennessee. And that is a story in and of itself and one for another time. But my husband was an attorney in Manhattan. We were born and raised in the area. We had deep roots, and then God called us. So that is another God calling story that he did an amazing thing. And we came down to Knoxville, Tennessee, and started a life in ministry. My husband went from attorney up in Manhattan to executive pastor at Two Rivers Church in Knoxville. And it was a unexpected surprise. That's part of our adventure with God. When we listen and follow, he takes us places we don't necessarily ever even think are possible. So that was 16 years ago. I have four wonderful children. They're now all out of my nest. And just all over the place. I've got two boys up in Pennsylvania, one in Philadelphia, one in Lancaster. My daughter is in Birmingham, and my other daughter is in Memphis, Tennessee. So I've got two Northerners and two Southerners.
Oh, lucky you. You can go either way.
Exactly. We've got a foot above the Mason-Dixon and below. So
there you go. Yeah. There you go. Well, it sounds, you know, I met your husband, and I just loved your family. And, you know, it's so true. And that's a message within itself, is that we don't know. We may have our education in one area. We may be planning our lives in one area. Mm-hmm. And God has the right to come in at any moment and say, hey, we're going this way. And it's always for our good, even though sometimes it can be really hard, don't you think?
100%. I remember when we moved down here, everyone was like, don't you love it? Isn't it fantastic? And honestly, it was just hard. And yet, you know, we were obedient, and we knew without a shadow of the doubt that God had spoken, and we were definitely going to listen and follow. But it wasn't always easy, but there's tons of blessings from that time and because of that decision to follow him, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about that just a minute, Eileen, because I'm sure there are a lot of people right now, you know, we're still post-COVID. There were still a lot of things that happened then that people are recovering from. There's a lot of things going on in our world that people have had to change, and second careers and all these things. What were some principles? What did you say to yourself to get through the really hard times, even though you felt like you were right in God's will? Because I always say being right in the middle of God's will is not always fun. It's not always easy. So what did you say to yourself that maybe our audience could be a takeaway during their tough times right now?
Well, I had a lot of comfort in knowing that God spoke very clearly. So when the hard times came, when we made that big move and transition, and things were, so to speak, hitting the fan nonetheless, I could rest knowing that this is where God wanted us, and I could trust him. And even though it was hard, I knew that it was for his purposes, and that we were where we were supposed to be, and he was going to use us. And I think we really waited to make that move until it was so utterly clear that we could go. And it's like, I won't move unless you move, you know? And so we, it was so clear. Like, there's so many great God stories in our moving story that we rested on that. And so even though in times in that transition, it felt like, is this right? Or someone would say, wow, this is really a little rocky. I'm like, yes, but I know that I know we're supposed to be here because God made it so clear. So when people are going through change, I always say, wait for him, you know? And if you need more from him to make it clear, ask for more, because he will so absolutely give it to you, so that when you make that move, when those hard time comes, you can rest knowing that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be, even though it looks a little different than I thought.
I love that. I love that. I remember, Eileen, when we moved from Augusta, Georgia to Baltimore, Maryland, I was so hesitant. I just could not believe that could be God, because it was a foreign land to us, you know, our boys. And I didn't know how wonderful Baltimore could be. I had images in my mind. Yes. And I did the same thing. I was in God's word. I was journaling. I was like, God, you have to make this perfectly clear. I have to know. And I love that you said that. If you ask for the wisdom, he will give it to you. He will clarify the road. And I wasn't going to take a step. Well, I always say, don't make a move until you know which move to make. And so so when we did get there, it was, the first year was really hard. Mm-hmm. But I kept going back to the scripture, and I knew that I knew that it was going to be I knew God was going to do something, and I was in place for it to happen. So for anyone that's listening today, I hope that that's just a comforting thought to you. And if you're looking for a place or looking for about to make a change, do what Eileen says. You know, go to the Word, ask God, have those counselors around you that you can trust, and God will give you that. And that's the best way to know to be able to survive hard times is to know that you're right where you're supposed to be. That's because right. Things are not always going to be what we expect, Eileen. And that's really what your story is about, isn't it? Tell us how you came to write this book. It's just a beautiful cover. And aren't you you're a designer? Is that right?
Yes.
Anyway, and I know that's more than decorating, right?
That's just cover design, but so we had good help with the publisher on all of that, but you know, it's a big deal to put your story out there, and you want the cover to be pretty and approachable and speak the right message, you know, right out of the gates, because people actually do judge a book by its cover.
I remember with my first couple of books, people, you know, it's like, you don't judge a book by cover. And I go, oh, but they do. And the cover is so important. So how did you come to write this book?
You know, it's so funny because my pain, I grew up having a chronic migraine since I was about 8 years old. And I didn't speak of them. You know, I complained at my annual appointment with my pediatrician about my chronic migraines. But I grew up in an environment where you didn't really complain. And in our parents and that generation, like, they didn't dig deeper necessarily and go to specialists. It was just a different time. And I was affirmed from my pediatrician year after year after year that these were normal. They were growing pains from growing. And then when I got fully grown, they were from hormones. I mean, there was always a reason why I had migraines. And so I kind of kept my pain under wraps, and until I was in my late teen years, and they were just really getting harder and harder with which to contend. What happened for me was there was a verse in the Bible that, as I started pressing into my pain and just figuring out what I could do to just get healing. I really wanted healing from these migraines, Kim. You know, I wanted God to heal me. There was a verse that God really used in my life, and it seems like a little bit odd of a verse for chronic pain, but the verse was, "The truth will set you free." And so most of my life, I had kept my pain a secret, just mostly because it wasn't validated. It was commonplace. It was told it was normal. And my environment that I grew up in, it just wasn't something we talked about. But that verse, "The truth will set you free," God really used it in my life to say, "Hey, Eileen," instead of always answering the question of "How are you doing?" with "I'm doing great," how about we start telling the truth? And that, with freedom, spoke to my heart. And I'm like, you know, I'm going to start doing that. And so that's where God started with me, was me learning to speak the truth about where I was and what my pain was appropriately with people I trusted. And that's where he started to unlock some of the things in me that set me on this journey of healing. It was amazing when I started to answer those questions honestly and openly with my friends and people who asked. I just thought, I mean, it was astounding to me that there were people out there that wanted to walk with me and help me. And I don't know why that was so astounding to me or surprising. It shouldn't have been, because we should know that. But a lot of times we don't when we have pain. And so that was a big deal, that people wanted to walk with me, and that and that's how the conversation started. There was one big moment where I was at a retreat, and I was talking with the speaker there, a great woman, who just started asking me questions about my pain. And I started speaking to it, just because she asked really good questions, and I kept talking. But that, at the end of that conversation, she challenged me. She said, "I think you have a lot to say about this pain of yours, more than you realize, and you should consider writing about it." I thought she was crazy at the time, but I did one day pick up pen and paper and start to write. And I just realized in that moment, there was maybe a book inside of me that God wanted me to get out, that I wasn't the only one who had these questions about a loving God, allowing pain and chronic pain and unanswered prayer and all these questions that it all conjured up inside of me. So that was the beginning of the process years ago now, but that was the beginning.
Absolutely. What did you begin to learn, about the healing process and what God was teaching you through this? What are some of the truths that began to set you free?
Number one, I think was, you have to process your pain. You have to bring your pain out into the light. You can't deal with your pain in a vacuum. So the whole truth will set you free. When I started sharing about my pain, all of a sudden I wasn't alone in a vacuum. My pain was out in the light, and I was speaking, like I would pray to God about my pain as a little girl and through the years. But when he didn't take the pain away, I really didn't think I had anything left to say about it. And we moved on to other topics. But I realized there was more to talk about with God than just, if he didn't heal me, I had nothing more to say. So that started to deepen my relationship with him, that there was more to talk about than just the healing prayer with Jesus. So,
and so how did you begin to process this? You know, I know that many times with my migraines and the percentages of people with migraines right now is just unbelievable. Yeah. I wonder so many times, and I understand, and I so appreciate when people give me scriptures of healing and you know, I've even been told, you know, if you believe enough, you know, it's like, people, you don't understand. I know that God can. And that's why I started out with this scripture with the three Hebrew boys. I know God can.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that he will.
That's
sometimes
right.
You get thrown in the fire and he walks through the fire with you. Right.
That's
so what?
Right.
What have been some of your situations like that? And I know, again, everything that's been said to me was to help me, to benefit me. But that doesn't mean that I can believe it away. And some people would argue with me about that. I'm fully ready for God to heal me at any moment from my migraines. But even if he doesn't,
that's right,
it's not going to change my relationship with him. So talk about for a minute.
I love that you brought that up, because two of the major things that taunted me, honestly, with my pain in the earlier years dealing with it was, he doesn't love me enough. God doesn't love me enough to heal me, or I didn't have enough faith. You know, because you read those scriptures in the Bible of the woman reaching out for the hem of Jesus's garment to be healed from the issue of blood. And what does Jesus say to her? Your faith has healed you. So like you, Kim, I've had people come up to me and even say, you just don't have enough faith. But Jesus tells us we only need faith the size of a mustard seed. So I know I have enough faith for him to heal me, right?
And he gives that to us. He gives us the faith. So we know we have that faith.
Right. It's a gift. It's a gift, you know. And so I think about Paul, who had the thorn in his flesh, you know, and he asked, you know, three times for that thorn to be taken from him. We don't know what that thorn was, but he never got that thorn taken from him. So if you've lived long enough, we all know plenty of people who and whether it's ourselves or people we love, that we have prayed for something to be taken from us, an injury, an illness, a disease, whatever the case may be. And it's not. And for some reason in God's sovereignty, he doesn't. So that's the crucial moment. And in my book, I write about that. That's the moment where I had pressed in and done a lot of things with these doctors to try to get this healed. And, barked up a lot of trees. And then I've done the healing. I've done so much. And then the Lord had, at one moment, it was just a big moment for me after years of going to doctors. The question that he posed to me when I wasn't getting better and I wasn't being healed. The prayers weren't getting answered as I had wished. The question he posed to me actually during a church service, I had a terrible migraine and I was just sitting in the back pew and I said, "Lord, you're not going to heal me, are you?" And it's, you know, I didn't hear it audibly, Kim, but it was so clear. And I think all of us have had those moments with the Lord when he just speaks to our heart and it's so clear. And he said to me, "Eileen, will you trust me no matter what?" And I just remember sitting in that pew with this raging migraine on its 10th day, thinking to myself, like, how could I possibly trust him no matter what? How can I possibly let go of my greatest desire, which is to be rid of this pain? How can I trust him? And then I started this whole battle with him of how could I not trust God? And we just had this lengthy back and forth. And at the end of that, you know, quote unquote conversation, I said, yes, I would trust him no matter what, whether he took my pain away or not, still believing that he could. And that's the thing. I believe he can, like you said, at any time he can take it away and he is sovereign over everything. But he wanted me to answer that question. Will you trust me no matter what? And I did say yes to that. I have to say in that moment, I can't even explain what came over me, but it was a peace that passes all understanding, just covered me like a blanket. And I knew it was truth and I knew it was right. Following that time, though, I said, if you're not going to heal me, and this is like another question, if you're not going to heal me, you have got to show me how to live. You've got to show me how to live with this, Lord. If you're not going to heal me, I knew he was going to do something. So if God's not healing us, if God's not taking whatever it is we want him to take from us, we're allowed to stand with him and have these conversations and have these wranglings and wrestlings. And mine was, if you're not going to heal me, what are you going to do? Because it's got to be something, because I can't live like this anymore. Right. So.
And what did you learn? What did you get instead?
So it was funny. I remember going home from that that weekend where we had that conversation and saying, "You're going to have to show me how to live." And there was no like writing on the walls, nothing super revelatory, but I knew what I knew from my relationship with him already and growing up in the church. And so I said, "Well, if you're going to show me how to live, I got to start spending more time with you." And so I, every day, and I can be pretty undisciplined. So I was like, every day I'm going to commit to meeting with you every single morning. And I had four little kids, you know, at the time. So easier said than done. And I'm just going to start there. Because I'm like, where do I start? I'm like, that's all I know to do. That's where I'm going to start. I'm going to start in my living room on the couch with the Bible in my lap. And I'm just going to, I know how to talk to him. I'm going to start talking to you. I'm going to just read my Bible and take it from there. And it's from that point, Kim, that, and you can read about it in the book, just this relationship that began to develop between the two of us. I could cry just even thinking about it. He is so good. And so we just got to know each other. We became really good friends. And he did show me how to live. And he didn't take my pain away. And yet, in the middle of all of that, which is just the beauty of life with Jesus, is that in the middle of whatever you're going through, we can still have joy. We can still sing hallelujah. Whether he takes our pain away, whether he heals us or not, whether those prayers are answered or not, because we know who he is and we know that he is sovereign and that he is good. And we see what he provides for us supernaturally when we turn to him. You know, we can have joy in the middle of our sufferings. And I don't know, there's a lot more to say, but.
that was beautiful and it's touching. And I think it gave hope to so many people. that relationship. In your book, it's actually on the very last page, but it just the way you wrapped it up, this earth is obviously not his kingdom come.
Yeah.
That time when all pain and suffering will cease is coming.
Amen.
Meanwhile, you say, it's good to know that God can do greater things than simply take our pain away. I would love for you just to take a minute and talk to those. We're down to just a couple of minutes. Talk to those, Eileen, that are still just wrangling with God. And they're feeling, you know, if you've had any type of abusive background, if you've had any type of abandonment issues or neglect, then all of a sudden God begins to fall in that category of where you're just like everyone else. You know, you're not there for me either. And there are a lot of people like that, and they're hurt and they're so discouraged. They're judging God by some man or woman who, you know, hasn't come through with them in the past. And so to those people who are struggling today and feel that God has just left them in their pain to get through it on their own, what would you say to them as just a word of hope?
Mm-hmm. That he hasn't left you, that he loves you more than you can imagine, and that he can handle your questions, he can handle your anger, he can handle your doubt and your disappointment, and suffering is a terrible thing, and it's difficult, but suffering is also incredibly meaningful, and if we turn to him in our suffering, not away from him, if we choose him and not bitterness, and we don't turn on back on him, if we face our suffering with him, and we keep talking to him, we keep crying out to him, he is faithful and he is true and he shows up and he will enter your pain with you. He will walk with you. He has promises for you that are true. And there is great hope because he is the great hope. And the beauty of it all is, Kim, is that we have access to him. Like, it's incredible, right? Yes. We have access to a friendship with God. Yes. And it really is as simple as that. And being friends with God, who has all the power and has all the answer and has all the hope, and has our tomorrow, is pretty incredible and life-changing. And so I would just say not to give up and keep believing, keep your faith, keep talking to him, just keep talking to him and keep asking him to show up and show you how to live and opening your Bible and reading those words. And sometimes we open our Bibles and it's just, you know, I don't know, you're just reading words, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can open up that book and it is life to us because there is power and there are promises. And so between his Spirit and his word, I just say, don't give up. Keep pressing into him. He's there. He sees you. He loves you. He has a plan. And it's a good one because it is a good one.
It is. He's already said that all these things are working for our good. So I always say, if it's not good, he's not finished. And the word is alive and active, and it's always working on our behalf.
That's
and,
right.
You know, we try to understand it in our humanness, but sometimes it's like what he said to you. We just have to trust and believe that he has the bigger plan, that he is walking all of us to. And so, Eileen, thank you so much. What a beautiful picture. And I think from everything you said, the picture that I will always focus on is when you talk about, and listeners, this is for you, grabbing your Bible, jumping on the sofa, and making Jesus your friend. What a beautiful picture. Just allowing him to get to know you, which he does, you to get to know him, and building that incredible bond and friendship. And that's really what this world is all about. So thank you, Eileen, so much for joining me this morning. John 8:32, and you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. So friends, you see on the screen there, the book, What I Got Instead, A Story of Pain, Doubt, and Faith. Eileen, how can we purchase this book?
Well, it's available on Amazon, or you can go to EileenSomi.com and purchase it there.
Absolutely. Well, friend, thank you so much for joining me. I'm delighted to not to be your friend, to be now in your we're family now because of our sweet kids that got married. And so I'm just looking forward to getting to know you more. And thank you for allowing me to share you with all my wonderful friends that join us right here on Coffee. Thank you.
So great to be here. Honored. Thanks so much, Kim. Loved it.
Absolutely. Friends, what a testimony, right? You know, sometimes we think that we're craving one thing, and maybe we are, but then God comes up and gives us something even better. And that relationship with Him, nothing can touch that. And so we have infirmities, we have hurts, we have pains, but we have something greater. Greater is He who is in us, the Bible tells us. I hope that you have that relationship with God. I hope that you know Him as your friend. If not, you can. And it's just as simple as what Eileen said. You grab the Bible, you jump on the sofa, and you ask God to come into your life, to be that lifelong friend. It's really that easy. While we were yet sinners, the Bible says, He gave His life for us. You see, He's been loving you for a long, long time. And now we have the opportunity to love Him back with our lives. I want to thank you so much for joining me right here on Coffee. Boy, did we start a great conversation. And guess what? Now you can go and continue that conversation with all those around you. Listen, thanks for joining me. I look forward to seeing you next time right here on Coffee. Bye, everybody.
To learn more about Kim's books, teaching materials, or to invite Kim to speak at your event, please visit kimcrables.org. Thank you for joining us today. And remember, to learn more, please visit kimcrables.org.